Okay, good evening, everyone. Tonight is the 98th shiur of Da'as Tefila. And last week we had a short shiur. Took just as long as it takes to charge a Tesla at a supercharger, we found out, Baruch Hashem. All worked out well down in Lakewood. And now we go onwards. But I do have to very briefly bring everybody up to speed for those who couldn't be here last week. We're doing something a little bit different. The Da'as Tefila is showing us slowly how Tefila reinforces many very important beliefs. Many, many important beliefs are reinforced by Tefila and by Karbanos, by different types of Avoda. Most of those beliefs have to do with directly with how we understand God. One God, one force, one etc., this and that. But we're in a very unusual section, which gave us a window into parts of Hashkafa that we haven't gotten to discuss together. And to be honest, most people don't really look at. And that is the question of the chosenness of the Jewish people. That one of these false opinions that are disproven, or that we reinforce our disapproval of, through tefillah and through avodah, is the fact that the Jewish people have been replaced, chas v'shalom, by another nation. They've been traded in. And what Rav Rakovsky has been discussing is whether or not, from a Jewish point, obviously if one isn't Jewish, they could find ways of refuting this, but within our own belief, is such a thing possible? Can the Jewish people be replaced by anybody else? And what he's suggesting is that that may have to do with whether or not the chosenness, whether the Jewish people were chosen before creation. You can't really be chosen for creation. In other words, whether or not the world is here for the Jewish people, in which case it doesn't really make sense to have them replaced by somebody else, or whether the Jewish people at some point in history were chosen. And if we are the chosen during history people, then maybe we could be unchosen and maybe somebody else could be chosen. And what we saw last week were different sources that seemed to indicate different directions. There are definitely sources like the beginning of the Chumash, famous first Rashi, Bereshis Bara Elokim, Bishvil, Klal Yisrael, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Rashis. Right, I think I'm pretty sure that's somewhere on the dorm at Reshit in Beit Shemesh. Right, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reshis. The world was created for the Jewish people. There was always going to be a Jewish people. There's always going to be, and the world was created for that. At the same time, we have traditions that had Adam and Chava not sinned, so there never would have been a history, never mind a Jewish history. We would have entered immediately into some sort of a Yemos HaMashiach, right then and there, by Shabbos. They were created on Shabbos on Friday afternoon. And were they able to withhold themselves and not eat from the Eitz Hadas just for a couple of hours, then that very same Eitz Hadas would have been the Friday night dinner, according to many. And the world would have entered like a semi-perfected state. That's all very nice. But what about the Jewish people? And that's a question that kids will sometimes ask when they're learning about the story of creation. Like, what was supposed to happen? What was supposed to happen, right? Oh, it's so terrible, Adam and Chava sinned. But if Adam and Chava sinned, they never would have left Eden. We never would have gotten to Israel. That's a smart kid. But we never would have gotten to Israel. We never would have been a Matan Torah. What is that about? And what about Avraham Avinu? Did Avraham Avinu do anything to deserve being chosen? Did he do anything? One opinion says, in fact, no. In fact, that's why all of the midrashim that we have about Avraham Avinu and going into the fire and breaking the idols isn't there. Because all of that was gravy. He was going to get chosen anyway. One shouldn't think that Avraham Avinu's exploits as a teenager somehow led God to the chosenness of the Jewish people. And if Avraham Avinu hadn't broken his father's idols, there would be no Jewish people? There would be no Matan Torah? What about the Medrash that says Yom HaShishi, that the whole world was waiting for Yom HaShishi. Adam and Chava don't play in that. Had Adam and Rishon not broken the idols, the whole world would have... These things are very difficult to understand. Very difficult to understand. And we're going to try to wade into waters to get a better understanding of what they might mean. And again, the purpose of this whole discussion is to try to see how service of Hashem and tefillah somehow reinforces this belief. We got to figure out what the belief is. Got to get it right. But certainly reinforces the belief that the Jewish people play such a central role in the universe that they can't be just swapped out for somebody else. So he says, "Vizuhi tsuratam shel hadvarim." I love when he does stuff like that. He gives you these like dramatic, you know, like these dramatic. When you see a line like that, and especially he makes it its own paragraph, "Vizuhi tsuratam shel." This is the shape. This is the form of the answer. So you know this is not going to be a two-word answer that's coming up. Hopefully we'll understand it. He's going to do a lot of Ramchal. A lot of Ramchal, a lot of Torah here from Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato. Ve'ilu lo haya chote, haya mishtalem u'mitaleh od iloi al iloi. The Ramchal is talking about what had happened had Adam HaRishon not sinned. Had Adam HaRishon not sinned, says the Ramchal in his Sefer Derech Hashem, then he would have simply become more and more raised up, more and more perfect. It's not that the whole world consisted of one test. It was a one and out. This is it. Do the test. Don't eat the fruit. You get into you're already incarnated. You get into the Emos HaMashiach, so to speak. You get into the perfected world. If not, you don't. It's that this was sort of a gateway test. Had Adam and Chava passed that first test, had they not eaten from the fruit, then they would have entered into a state where it would have been easy to climb higher and higher and higher and higher. V'hineh be'oto ha-matzav ha-tov, hayalo leholid toladot. Okay, here we go. He says that they would have had children who also would be involved in perfecting their neshamos and climbing closer and closer to Hashem in that state. Mispar mishuar mechachmato yitbarach shemo. The number of children that would have been born would have been directly determined, predetermined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as I guess is true in our world. Just because there's billions of people doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have some number of people that he knows we're getting towards. But what was the original plan? What was plan A? It went wrong very quickly. But you ever wonder what plan A was? The Ramchal says plan 1A is that Adam and Chava get to Shabbos. They have a particular number of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. There were supposed to be X number of human beings. Al pi amitat masha ra'oi l'shleimut hanehanim mituvo yitbarach shemo. Kadosh Baruch Hu had a particular number of creatures that he wanted to reward. The reward had to be because of their actions. They had to have some kind of ability to make a choice, but very, very simple. Not the kind of struggles that we have down here to do the right thing and the wrong thing. It was a world where mitzvos were easier to do and following HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will was an easier thing to do. V'hayu kulam nehenim imo b'tuv hahu. And they all would have celebrated and enjoyed with him. Let's go back a step. The Ramchal says that the creation of the world was so that God could give good to another being. But he didn't want to give a little good. He wanted to give the ultimate good. What's the ultimate good? Something that I earned. We've discussed this a few times, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give that good to something else, to something outside of him, so to speak. How many people do you need to do that? Two? 40 billion? Like, what was the, I don't know. He's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't have to kind of let it run and see what happens. So the idea was that instead of people going through this very, 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 very difficult game of life, the game of life was supposed to be easier. It wasn't supposed to be so difficult. You're supposed to rack up schar very, very quickly because there wasn't that many opportunities to do anything wrong. And there was supposed to be a defined number of human beings, and this was the case. How does the Ramchal know this? He doesn't quote sources. I assume we're dealing with Kabbalistic kind of sources here, but he doesn't quote any sources here. So that's what it was supposed to be. It's supposed to be, I would assume, a smaller number of human beings who live together as Gan Eden continued to expand to allow more people to be there. And everyone was supposed to shine in the light of Hashem, be close to Hashem, and receive reward. Va'amnam, ha'toladot ha'ele shahaya ra'uy shi'olid nigzeru v'shoru milfanav yitbarach shemo, mishuarot behad ragot miyuchadot. He said, this very planned human species, this experiment, so to speak, this group of humans that were supposed to come from Adam and Chava, were to be created behadragot miyuchadot, at different levels. They were not all supposed to be the same. Perush, shiyihyu bahem roshiim v'nitfalim. They were going to be, first of all, heads, leaders, and followers. Even amongst this group, it's not exactly clear what they did, but teachers and students. More prominent people and less prominent people. And also, shorashim va'anafim nimshachim zeh achar zeh. They're also going to be, there was always going to be, remember, this is plan A. Plan A is that Adam and Chava stay in Gan Eden, they have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, the generations proceed, a certain number of people. It's a little bit of a society. They're Roshim, they're less people, but there's also this thing called Shorashim and Anafim. There are people who are the roots, and there are those who are the branches. There's a certain number of generations was supposed to be the trunk of the tree. And then after a certain time period, the rest of the human beings that came out were supposed to be branches on the tree. They're not a tree, but there's sort of there's a certain number of generations that are sort of the base, and then at a certain point you get to the point that obviously as you go up a tree trunk, so there's still things that are more base than the others. The bottom of the trunk is a base to the top of the trunk. That's true, but at a certain point, like a tree, things start branching out, and you see you're not dealing with the trunk anymore. I'm explaining this as well as I can. Umispara ilanot, umispara anafim, hakol mishur betachlis hadikduk. And everything was planned out. How many trunks, how many people are in the trunk, how many anafim, the whole thing was planned out. Good. Anybody following me? I guess so. You know what's nice about the Derech Hashem? The Derech Hashem is written so clearly that you think you might have some idea what he's talking about. That's the problem. I don't know. We're going to keep reading, and hopefully we'll be with him. Certainly fascinating stuff. Adam Harishon Hu Hashoresh. Adam Harishon is the base of the tree. Ubo Hayu Kululot Nishmotehem Shel Kol Habriot Shebebriya. Within, just like a tree has within it all the potential for the rest of the tree, so too Adam Harishon had within him the neshamos of all the creatures that will ever be born. It's all coming from him. Bishiur komato, in the various sizes, the various places that each thing is going to be. Yeshnam evarim ikariyim, ve'evarim pachos chashuvim. Okay? Just like in a body, which all comes from one place, all comes from one cell. It turns out, at the time that it's one cell, the entire cell is the ikar. You can't speak of a fertilized egg and say, well, that's not such an important part of the organism. The whole thing is one cell. Everything's critical. But as it begins to grow and develop, certain parts of it turn out to be more central than others. Certain parts of it develop into things that the whole tree, the whole person, cannot exist without. And other parts of it turn into things that are attached, certainly come from, but aren't as critical. Yisrael, what does it mean? What is the original meaning of Yisrael? It's the letters Li Rosh. The five letters of Yisrael is Li Rosh. For me, that's the head. Not the head in the sense of at the front of the line, but the head in the sense of the most important thing. Once it fleshes out into different parts, there was always going to be, says the Ramchal, a Yisrael, a Rosh. Just like in any egg, any fertilized egg that grows into a human, there's going to be a head and a brain. And there's going to be a little finger, and there's going to be an appendix, and there's going to be a lot of different things. Heim habechina ha'ikarit shebo. The parts of Adam Arishon, the neshamos in Adam Arishon, there was always going to be a part of Adam Arishon, a part of humanity that was more central than the other parts. Umot ha'olam heim bechinat sha'ar ha'evarim ha'nitfalim shebo. And the other nations of the world are the arms and the legs, and one of them is even the heart, but nothing is the head. Says the Ramchal, there was always going to be a certain subset of humanity that played a more central role in world history. That was always going to be. That was always in the plans. Even if everything went well, even if everyone was quote unquote chosen, even if everyone was in Gan Eden, and Gan Eden would have had to become the size of the whole Middle East. Even if everyone was in Gan Eden, there was always going to be, and he almost seems to say, as in any society, there was always going to be a group that played the lead role. That, he says, is what we call Yisrael. Would it have come from Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov? He doesn't commit to that. Would it have had what we call today Jewish blood? He doesn't say. But he says that when the Torah tells us that Bereshis bara Elokim, Bishvil Reshis, for a certain group, the original blueprints for the world had a certain number of people playing a more central role in the purpose of the world, and other human beings playing a less central role in terms of the purpose of the world. So says the Ramchal. There would be, in any drama, there's going to be the lead actors, and there's going to be people who are not as much of a lead actor. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Ukafisha Mavar HaRamchal Atzmo, as the Ramchal explains, but now he switches Svarim, in the Das Tvunos. Ha'ikr b'chol zeh hu Yisrael. Ki lahem ta'avato. The ikr, the reason for everything, was to get to a group. To get to a particular group. Because that was God's desire. Kedivrei hakatuv shehizkarnu ani ledodi ve'alai teshukato. I am for my dod, and that is my desire. God desired not, it seems, to have an equal relationship with everybody. For some reason, says the Ramchal, he wanted to have a special relationship with a certain percentage of the population, as it was going to be. V'chol shar habriya talui rak bahem. And the rest of creation is dependent upon them. Ki ka'asher yifne elehem biyahava, hine lo yihye ela mechadesh tamid tovot achar tovot l'chol ha'olam. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to that group with love, it will only mean good for everybody else. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended that there always be some sort of a special group. That group should play an outsized role in spreading what he is. That group should play a closer role to him. And that group should bring the blessing for everybody else. He says, V'hine od inyan ikari odiacha. I want to tell you something else very fundamental. The who? Sheyesh l'knesses Yisrael shoresh kol kedusha. Shehi klalit l'chol ha'uma ha'kedosha mitzad heyotam Yisrael. Va'afilu l'ra'im shebahem. He says that you should know that Knesset Yisrael has at its source a type of holiness that includes everyone in the group, even those who are wicked within that group. Sha'arei amu rabosenu afal pi shechata Yisrael hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he made creation lead, and we'll have to see what happened in Plan B, but even in Plan A, there was supposed to be a Yisrael. Even in Plan A, there was supposed to be a group of people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a special relationship with. And that group would share some kind of inherent holiness that went beyond any particular action that they did. Yisrael afal pi shechata, Yisrael hu. We have a rule, and this is a halachic rule, that even a Jew who sins, you can't un-Jew yourself. You can't un-Jew yourself. A Jew is still of a special group of people, even if his actions are separate. Even if his actions are separate from theirs. Davar ze mushrash be'inyanim gvoim meod. And this idea is founded in very, very great and high ideas. Behios Yisrael mishtal shalim imenu yisparach. Because the Jewish people are somehow closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could be of the furthest from this group, but you're still in, there's something about you that makes you different and makes you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kemo she'amar ha'ketuv in Eicha, chelki Hashem amri nafshi al kein ochilo. We are a portion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now this is a very extreme sounding view of what it means to be chosen and it means to be Jewish. Doesn't sound like this is an accident of Avram Avinu's actions or the sins of any other nation or the Dor HaMabul or the Dor HaFlaga. However it worked out, there was going to be a certain group of people who had a special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Was that going to be you and I? We don't know that yet. We don't know that yet. We don't know yet exactly if we were going to be that people, the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But built into the world, explains the Ramchal, is this idea that there is a group which is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as he'll describe, it's almost as if God's influence comes into the world through that group and then to the rest of the world. And then to the rest of the world. Now, questions. Great. Nobody has a question. Adina's like, nobody has a question?
That's
because we're so lost that we can't ask any questions. Ubebechina hazu, ilu lo hayachote, hayu mishtalmim v'nehanim b'tuvoyit parach kol toldotav, had Adam HaRishon not sinned, then all of God's creatures would have been close to him and would have been nehneh from his ziv shchinaso and everyone, but still, bechinat Yisrael shebo bihiyotam ikar, ubechinat shar haumot kenitfalim. Okay, everyone would have been close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No one would have turned to idols, turned to other religions, none of these things. But there still would have been within the group that lived in Gan Eden, they would have developed a Yisrael. They wouldn't have, and we would have used that word, because that word means Li Rosh. There would have always been some sort of group that developed within Gan Eden that would have been the leaders, that would have been the special ones, that would have had certain holiness and connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that others don't have, even though those other people are close. We're talking about people in Gan Eden here, not Gan Eden we call Gan Eden of souls, but Gan Eden down here. You're talking about a world where the Umot HaOlam would have been closer in a certain sense to Hashem than anyone is today. They would have been living in Gan Eden, being Nehneh Miziv HaShchina, have never have sinned. But there still would have been a Yisrael. There still would have been some sort of group. And then there would have been an Umot HaOlam. There would have been still an Ikar and a Tefel. So today what we did was plan A. Okay, tonight we did plan A. What we're going to see next week is plan B. And it starts very dramatically. La'achar shechata v'yarad memadregato ha'elyona. Once Adam sinned and he fell from his standing, imo yarad klal hamin ha'enoshi. All of humankind fell to a very, very, very low level. And now we'd have to figure out who can climb out of this low level to get back to where we were before. Okay, a question?
But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to happen, why does there need to be a plan A and a plan B?
It's a good question, but that also comes to God's foreknowledge in general. If God knows what's going to happen, what does it mean? I have free choice. Let's try to focus on all the new stuff that we don't understand instead of the old stuff that we didn't understand.
Okay, so we'll right? have more stuff that we don't understand. That's great.
Has anyone ever heard of this? Okay, great. Because I hadn't either till I came across it in the Sefer. I've skimmed through Derech Hashem, but somehow it never caught me enough to discuss, to look at these to look at this section closely. So we have a lot of work to do. It is so fascinating to hit an area of Hashkafa that like may have thought about once before, but never really delved into. So next week we're going to have to figure out, well now, okay, what's going to happen? What happens after the sin? And where do what we know as the Jewish people, not the Jewish people being a section of the angelic beings, so to speak, who are living in Gan Eden, but what we call the Jewish people, where does that come from, and how is that a part of the world? Okay, I look forward very much to next week. We'll see you all soon.
Thank you, Rabbi.